Hey, this is Red Band, and you're listening to Kill Tony. Tony and me are coming to Pittsburgh and Ohio this week. Unfortunately, Pittsburgh is completely sold out, but Ohio, there's some tickets left. We're doing a Kill Tony followed by a comedy show. So you can get combo tickets to both shows. Just go to deathsquad.tv and click on tour dates. And of course, don't forget we do Kill Tony every Monday live from the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. That's a free show. And every Tuesday we have the Roast Battle, which is the verbal violence podcast. And every Friday we have the Ice House comedy show. All these can be found by just going to deathsquad.tv and clicking on tour dates. And shopsquad.tv, proud to announce there is three new Death Squad shirts. The pre-orders for two of them are up right now, and one of them is almost sold out. So check out shopsquad.tv for all the new Death Squad merchandise, and check out TonyHinchcliffe.com for all of Tony's dates and merch. All right, guys, here's a brand new episode of Kill Tony.
Hey, this is Red Band coming to you live from the Road Famous Comedy Store for a brand new episode of Kill Tony Volume 3. Give it up for Tony Hinchcliffe!
Yes. Hello, hello. Hi, everybody. How are you? Welcome. It's a Monday night. Make some fucking noise. We're all here stacked on top of each other for another fun episode of Kill Tony. Hello to the hundreds on Periscope and the thousands on Ustream. Keep it going for Pat Reagan, everybody. He's just playing music for you guys live before the show. We got a new angle tonight, huh?
Yeah, we're doing it a little different today.
Ooh.
We have commercials for our show in Ohio and Pittsburgh at the beginning now.
Oh, wow. So look at that. Ohio and Pittsburgh, the 27th and 29th of November. That's where we're going to be.
We're bringing Kill Tony there.
Kill Tony live, and then a stand-up show afterwards. You can get combo tickets to both shows if you're crazy as fuck and want to watch comedy for 4 hours straight.
Jesus.
Yeah, hey, we're selling those combo tickets, by the way, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Laugh it up.
Almost everybody's getting the combo.
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
We're going to talk shit about comedians for an hour and a half. We better put on a hell of a show afterwards,
right?
That's how it works. Keep it going for Ryan J. Ebelt, the house artist, ladies and gentlemen. Look at him. He's got a blank sheet of paper in front of him. Throw that up in the air real quick, Ryan. Throw that blank. Just hold it up. Just hold that up. Look at that. A white sheet of paper, everybody. He's drawing tonight's episode from beginning to end. He does it every week. Ryan J. Ebelt. Put your hands together for him. And we're in. Yeah. It feels sort of naked up here without that laptop. I sort of liked it right there.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to hide from. You don't get to see our cigarette collections. And
I have to buy two packs at the cigarette store next door to be able to use my card.
We could just quit.
Who carries cash anymore? What kind of disgusting people have, like, dirty fucking cash on them? Go get some credit cards like adults. So let's do it, shall we? Kill Tony, where we talk to comedians who sign up for a minute, and we always have two of the funniest comedians, two of my best friends on every single episode, always special guests, and they're here tonight as well. Put your hands together for tonight's guests, Sam Tripoli and Byron Bowers, everybody.
Woo!
Two of the best in the world. We're talking about Jedi Knights of comedy right here. Bad motherfuckers. Cold-blooded assassins, two of my best pals, guys I've done the road with, guys I work with every night, two of the funniest human beings. Comedy Central, HBO, everything. Here they are.
Is it weird that the white guy's wearing the Raiders hat and the black guy's wearing the cowboy hat? Is that fucking weird?
Yeah, it is a little backwards.
Yeah, things have changed now.
Yeah. We've come so far. We can wear whatever we want.
You wear that very well, though, Byron. A lot of times I see a guy in a fedora, I'm like, only Freddy Krueger can pull that shit off. But
That's a forest ranger hat.
No, it's not quite forest. It's right in between. It's like John Mayer rock star shit.
Hey, y'all see how many niggas doing like cowboy movies doing Christmas now?
Yeah.
We had Django last year.
Yep.
We got the new movie this year.
Yep.
It's on. You know what I mean?
Black Cowboys. Quentin
Black
Tarantino
Cowboys.
Is a fan of Kill Tony, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Word on the street is?
Anyway, welcome back. You guys have both done this show before.
Was it good enough?
We're gonna move on because I don't like bragging about my friendship with Quentin Tarantino. You know, no big deal.
It turns the
audience against me. He does have the biggest head you've ever seen in the entire Quentin Tarantino.
Oh,
have you seen him before in real life?
No.
It's amazing.
Both of them, I heard.
Looks like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, it's really crazy, and it's tall too. It's like that big of a head. It's really weird.
You know, huge skull? Shit, Brad Williams. You ever see Brad Williams' skull?
Yeah.
That thing has two floors.
God damn, it is true.
A lot of the people in this room have no idea who Brad Williams
is,
though.
Brad Williams is? Thank you. The guy up front does.
Hell
that's
yeah.
all really matters.
Can y'all always hear me? Do I need some volume? My voice is kind of soft. You know what I mean?
Oh, that sounds
great. I think
great.
It sounds seductive.
Yeah, hell it's yeah. very romantic and shit.
So welcome back to the show, guys. You know what it is. We talk to comedians after they do a little bit of time. We get to meet them, talk about their set, find out a little bit about them, and figure out what else they can maybe talk about, get feedback from comedians. You guys ready to start this shit or what? Here we are.
Hey, you ready?
Here we are. This is how it's done.
Hey, Red Band, when will this come out?
It's like out right now.
2016?
It's out right now.
It's out right now?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's live right
now.
You got
an interesting looking audience. That's how I know you're getting bigger. Last time it was, these people right here look like they got a future. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
These are real fans right here. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Every episode.
That's going to be somebody mama one day right
yeah.
there.
How do you know it's already not?
I got a feeling. She got hope in her eyes still, you know. The baby came out that pussy. She'll be real serious and checking her watch like I got to go.
Baby come out of that pussy.
It's true.
Especially that one right there.
Wow.
Wow.
This Waldo-looking guy that she's with seems really insecure right now with you spitting that
hot
fire.
No, he got his button undone. And it's cold outside. You see, he's got
a lot of buttons undone, but he also had his hands folded over his crotch. So it's
he's
never
got a lot of jeans going on. Like, he looks like he could hide in Gap, you know, like just hide in the jeans.
He got on
section.
Cowboy boots, too. He ready. When you get this hat, boy, you're going to be in there. You know what I mean?
Maybe you guys can do a little hat trade-off tonight. Who knows? He gets the hat, you get the girl. I pull the name out of the bucket, guys. Getting an uninterrupted 60 seconds of... Oh, there we go. Probably the worst timing ever for the funniest sound effect.
you completely skipped over the rules of the game.
You're exactly right. So I did deserve that. Comedians, you get 60 seconds. You know your 60 seconds is up when you hear the sound of a kitty. Aw, so adorable. You can barely hear it, but you better wrap it up then, or else you're going to bring out the angry West Hollywood bear. The difference in volume between those two things, it's like shocking.
That all bear right. sounds like it's on crystal meth.
Yeah, it's like...
tweaking balls.
Breaking bear.
Yeah, breaking bear.
All right. Really, I mean.
He was fishing for the outside of his hand.
Sometimes you just have to float something out there, whether it's funny or not, you know? As long as it sounds like a joke, it'll get a laugh in a room like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do.
See, then they didn't laugh at that because I tightened them up. They're like, what do you think, we're stupid? All right. I pulled the name out of the bucket. First 60 seconds tonight goes to Logan Gunselman.
Oh, my. Logan.
Hi, guys. Have you read, there's this news story right now. In Iceland, there's an app so that you can find out if the person you just met at a bar is related to you or not. Because they've been fucking on an island for so long that that's like a possibility. And I want to know how many times the inventor of that app accidentally fucked his first cousin before he was like, shit, I got to do something about this. Maybe he's into his cousins. I know what my type is, and it's going to get a little uncomfortable in here. I'm sorry. Because my type is 18-year-olds, baby boys. Like, if I don't fuck a high schooler by the time I'm 30, I'm going to fuck a high schooler after I'm 30. Type of thing. I don't want to go over every time. I'm so nervous.
It's exactly a minute right there.
Whoa,
so,
whoa.
There you go.
Whoa.
Have you, do you really fuck young guys? Is that really the thing?
I haven't.
You haven't.
But you're open to the possibilities.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure, you guess. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that you haven't fucked a high schooler when you were in high school, so you want to fuck one now? Is that what you're saying in that?
Yeah, I guess so. I just, 18-year-olds are pretty cute.
Yeah.
Did you write it to write it as a joke, or do you really feel that shit?
Like, if I talk about fucking 18-year-old, I'm probably going to fuck an 18-year-old. You know what I mean? So that's what we're trying to figure out. Are you really going
to... I agree with that.
I have a feeling if the law wasn't 18, your joke would be way different, right?
How young would you be willing to go if there was no law?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say you're in a third world country where anything goes. Where would you go?
I mean, you're recording this. So
yeah.
You know, well, I'll pause.
Probably, honestly...
We just hit pause on the entire podcast. It's a podcast.
Nobody's listening.
No, I honestly one time saw a bunch of high schoolers in football uniforms, and without meaning to in my head, I was like, damn. And then I was like, oh, no. So that was it.
Is that your, like, getting turned on right there? Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So these were high school football players. Were they in their jerseys and helmets? Like, where were these guys?
They had their helmets off, but they still had their shoulder pads on. They were on a crosswalk. I remember it way too well. It's so creepy.
No, it's not creepy. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. How long were you in the bushes for?
So it could have been a 14-year-old. You know, it's a freshman in high school. So freshman in high school gets you soaking, maybe? 14.
Soaking? What the fuck are you saying? This is not dysentery.
Captain Creepy came and just
raised
the game.
Jesus Christ, man. This is a Monday night. There's little kids watching on Ustream right now.
First of all, I love when you open up. This might get a little creepy. You know how bad it's got to be for a woman to creep guys out? I mean, I'll fuck weird shit, all right? So you can go totally crazy.
How weird? Yeah. What kind of weird shit are you
throw
with?
Throw some scenarios. I'll give you yes or no. Just throw something out there.
Pee bag. Woman with a pee bag.
Yes.
Chick with cornrows.
Yes.
Poopy pants.
Poopy? No.
I don't know.
But once she takes the poopy pants off, yes.
Oh. She got to be real fine to bring her down. Like, if she like a 10 and she shit in her pants, I'm like, okay, we got a 6.
Fuck
right
that.
Yeah. It's like a 4. It's like a 4 change, right? Poopy, you know? Poop equals 4.
First podcast uses evidence as being recorded live.
Here's my thing. It's like comedy's so interesting because, you know, not everything you have to say has to be real. But when you go on stage and you do a dirty joke like that, people are going to think that's what you really think.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for that energy. You know, and when you get off stage, like, I'll do a lot of dick jokes, and I get weird energy off stage, but that's fine because that's what I really think. So if you're going to do those jokes, you have to be ready for, like, Red Band ass if you're soaking or not. You know what I'm saying?
Or a bunch of boners. Might be a creepy audience. You never know.
But my point is, you got to, I don't know, man. It's just interesting.
What was the first joke that wasn't about 18-year-olds?
The guy fucking his cousin's. The app.
Oh, the app, yeah. Is that true? Is that a real app?
That is a real
What's
app.
It called?
I just looked at the article. I didn't look at the app.
I do that, too. I just look at the title. I'm like, okay, I think I know what happened there, right? But there was a couple lines in there that I think you didn't need. And that's really why every time I come on the show, I'm always telling you guys got to cut down the fat. And you were like, because it's an island where everybody's fucking each other, right? I don't really know if that's necessary to the punchline. The punchline really is how many cousins did this guy fuck before he's like, I think I need a nap for this, which is what you need to get to quickly. It's
and
a great
also,
joke.
And also, more on that is like, all the people that are fucking their cousin probably don't have apps on their phone.
Yeah.
You know, they're also in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, cousin fuckers aren't asking the bar for the Wi-Fi connection. So, you know, that's all. There's so much to keep discovering in that, like all that and the stuff you have and to just fucking explore it because that's a really great premise. And the reason, why I asked you about the 18-year-old stuff, hooking up with 18-year-olds right afterwards and what we ended up finding out is that, you know, if you're going to talk about that stuff, talk about what's honest to you so that it's going to be easier for you to add on to that material.
Yeah. Like, you're honestly a pedophile. That's what I've learned from that little set. Yeah. So.
I mean, do you think even saying 18 just makes you draw attention to it more?
And the funniest part
like,
of the whole thing was after the set when we said, why 18? And you said, because they're cute. You know, and if that's true, then you have to talk about why you're into something more cute than, like, manly right now. If that makes sense.
Ooh, that not is really. Something that's interesting.
Yeah.
Not really.
Enjoy that. You know, I think you're funny. I think you have a great jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes with your punchline, you just really have to make it crystal clear.
You've been on the show a couple times. Mm-hmm. You've had, like, murderous sets. Mm-hmm. How are things going for you, Logan Gunselman?
They're pretty good.
That's your real last name, huh? Gunselman. Mm-hmm. That's some real,
that's
like...
That's a great name.
Like, did you, like, drop breadcrumbs your whole way here or something? A little Gunselman? Gunselman?
Do you know the penis grows thicker in age? You know, there's a lot of benefits for boys.
Brian, all right, you used all your dirty cards in the first 5 minutes of this show. So, I mean, we have to really hit the e-brakes here.
Run!
Jeez Louise.
She don't give a fuck. Her arms are crossed right now.
No, yeah, she's not super comfortable. Yeah, she's cold as ice. So Logan cool. gets it.
Yeah, I mean, Red Band's a star maker. Lil Esther's on her third pilot, so keep you know.
So Logan, what do you do for fun? What's something else that's going on? What
besides
else
18-year-olds?
What a perfect heroin belt that you have on also.
Oh, thank you.
Perfect for heroin.
Thanks. People can't see it on the podcast, but thank you.
Well, yeah, again, there's three different cameras on you.
Oh, cool. It was free.
But Logan, let's get more to my question that Brian just fucking X'd all the air out of as fast as he could. What else are you talking about? What else are you into?
I feel like stuff that's super boring. I don't know.
Let's hear it.
Great. Sounds like you're set for a career in stand-up comedy. She's the boring comedian, everybody. Totally original.
Start doing
you know, all those other ones are trying to be entertaining. We found someone with real originality. No, I love it.
I think
Logan.
You're very funny, man.
She's very good.
You're great. Absolutely. Super likable. You're going to be amazing. How long have you been on stand-up?
Like 2.5 years.
That's so great.
That's really good stuff.
Yeah, you're unstoppable.
You're doing
anything
great.
From you, Pat Reagan?
They'll snatch you
I
up
know
anytime.
Logan.
You do.
How do
I'm
you know
curious
Logan?
Because just years doing mics. But
and I'm looking like an 18-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I young enough?
No.
Aww.
Come on, put on some shoulder pads, Pat. I think you're going to be just fine. Logan, so there you go. There you go. There's Red Band finding his footing. He likes that feeling.
You look like a teacher, though, so it works. You know what I mean? You got a school teacher look, so.
Yeah.
You in season right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just grab one of those big purses and walk around high schools and you in.
You yeah, you mean? Don't even have to teach. Just walk
yeah,
around.
Yeah, just walk around.
Logan, so
boys,
much fun.
Go back to class. What are you doing?
I think it's a great time to be a woman, by the way. I think women just
what are you saying?
Run everything. I think you guys, it's a great time to be a woman in America. I mean, like, it's a great time to be a female comic in L.A. I think there's a lot of opportunity.
I'm telling you, I couldn't agree more.
Like, I think transgender comics.
I think, and there's no way to say this without sounding sort of like a dick, but I think, like, we're equal now.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody's been like, equality, equality, equality. Yeah. We don't, it's like, we're even. Here we are right now, and nobody's saying it. They're making an all-female Ghostbusters, man.
Yeah.
It's over the fucking line. All right? I'm not going to believe this new Ghostbusters movie unless these chicks spend the entire movie trying to find the original cast of Ghostbusters.
Nah, fuck that. I was watching Walking Dead last night, and two chicks kissed. And I was like, come on, y'all pushing this whole thing too far.
Totally.
You
know what I
mean? Hold on, you had a problem that with that?
Wait.
They won the best looking chicks on
yeah,
the show.
It's The Walking Dead.
Zombie show.
2-4 is equal to 8.
It's supposed
I'm like, come on, you bring this into... That's like having a zombie police beat a black dude on the show. I'm like, come on, don't bring the issues into the show.
That was weird. I don't know how you went.
I watched this show to see zombies eat, motherfucker. I don't want to see the socioeconomic.
What if they're just two lesbian zombies eating each other seductively? You know, quietly.
It's Walking Dead, not Scissoring Dead. Yeah. Fuck this shit. Logan, so much fun. So nice to meet you. Have a great night. There she goes. Future star of America right there. That's a killer right there.
Yeah,
Logan Gunselman, she's on Twitter at a dirty gun.
Women always like to complain that like as they get older, it gets harder to meet guys and all this stuff. But now all my friends in their late 30s and 40s, you know what they're doing? They're all going down to Latin America and getting green card dick. Have you seen this? Like, they're all dating, like, third world guys, and they're bringing them back up. And let's say it doesn't work out. They just want your green card.
Right.
They got a whole village of guys down there you can pick from the whole tree. It's like, it's just not fair anymore.
And they're all good looking. It makes you sort of feel bad for Asian guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Asian girls are beautiful, but Asian guys are fucking losers. That's you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, women would mail order bride. All right, was this a pro-Asian crowd? All right, you're not going to like it when they're nuking us in 20 years,
whoa,
motherfuckers.
That's like
women
redheads.
Get back in the kitchen and fuck the Asians.
That's like redheads. Like, what? Redhead chicks are smoking hot. Redhead guys look like they are from the Shire, and they're just, right?
That's true.
I'm going to pull another name out of the bucket. This is fun. Here we go. Jerry Brandt.
Oh, Jerry Brandt.
Oh, shit.
Jerry, I don't see any movement on Jerry Brandt.
No movement.
Brandt.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're done in Hollywood.
Oh, no. Jerry Brandt just missed his spot. You know what that means. He just got blacklisted. Fuck yeah, that's what that sounds like. I pulled another name out of the bucket. Put your hands together for Lindsay Jennings.
Lindsay! Oh!
My friend Lindsay Jennings!
Yeah!
Oh, this is going to be great.
That's hilarious.
Do I start now? Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was in preschool, I was pretty much a drug dealer. I hustled that pure white, cane, sugar packets, you know, the little white ones. I had all the kids hooked. They'd be coming up to me, trying to trade me their Lunchables for sugar. They stopped eating. They stopped sleeping. They'd be staying up through nap time. I'd be trying to sleep. As soon as I wake up, they'd be looking at me like, yo, Lindsay, you got any more of that sugar? You got any more of that sugar? But I got caught. I got found out. They got my accomplices. My mom and my grandma stopped taking me to Denny's before school in the morning to get my supplies and my French fries. I served hard time. Out 15 minutes. That shit was rough. Where do you think I got these tattoos? Oh. I rushed it and I finished before the minute. I had other shit to say.
Are you good?
52 seconds. That's the funniest freestyle rap I've ever heard spoken in my entire life.
I'm doing the rap battle this Friday.
Is that true?
I can fucking tell. Lindsay Jennings. Fuck yeah, that's your first time on the show.
It is.
Lindsay's great. She's a good friend of mine.
What are you, her manager?
Okay. No, I'm just her friend. Why do I gotta be your manager?
He's been trying to sniff coke out of my asshole for the past 2 weeks.
I don't know what she's talking
about. Something, anything, hit everything.
Hit everything.
Hey, dude, there it is. Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah!
Truth! So rude! Snitches get stitches, bitches!
That's what you told the early
I didn't know it was a secret when you said it in front of everybody yesterday.
I whispered it to you! You go, hey, Lindsay! Let me do coke out of your butt! I didn't do that.
Your whisper isn't the quietest whisper.
I'm on your side.
Oh, my God. We are live.
Roast battle.
I think I actually saw you do your first set on a Death Squad show in the main room. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really a set, and I knew nothing about comedy, but
right.
I told a story of a date I went on.
You got called in from the audience. You went on stage, did that get you hooked? Is that...
Yeah, I went up and it was so awesome. And I like secretly, I was like, Brian Moses was like, what about you, Lindsay? Do you have any bits? And I was like, I'm not a comedian. And then I was like, wait, secretly in the back of my mind, I really want to do it. So it was really awesome.
Did you do the sugar packet thing? Is that what you talked about?
No,
just told a story.
Yeah, I mean, the sugar packet thing is real, but I swear, they had to call in, like, the parents. Like, they called the parents in to have a meeting with my mom. It was like super serious. But, no, I told a story about when I went on a date and this guy, it was like the only date I went on in LA, and this guy fell down the stairs because he's like Mormon and he passes out during scary movies, which he told me, but I was like,
is this the story right now? That's happening? Is that what's going on?
Well, yeah, I won't keep going, but.
No, I love it. Are you telling the story that you told?
Well, I'm trying to make it shorter because I actually did like 6 minutes that first night, but it was like a bunch of bullshit.
It was cool. You got to do it in front of Steve-O, and Steve-O was really impressed. He was talking about it later.
My first joke was roasting Steve-O.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your story? What do you do for work?
I have like 6 jobs. I am a
How many of them are blow in hand?
3.
Is the Instagram model a job?
I mean, I get paid to like post shit sometimes, but not a full-time job.
Like I
job,
said,
obviously.
Women rule the fucking world.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Everybody that's getting pulled out of the bucket tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm roasting that girl, or maybe battling that girl too. So that's great. Now that I know that she fucks 18-year-olds.
You have so many piercings. It's like
I took a bunch out.
It's incredible.
I took a bunch out.
I get the feeling that you know. All right.
Okay, let's get into your set, if you don't mind.
Yeah, when you perform, you go real fast.
Yeah,
and
you,
then you
just
move like
through it.
You move like you're dancing. And it's kind of tough to concentrate sometimes.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you been on stage? You've only probably done it like what?
We're not talking the main stage either. We're just talking the stage.
Like 6 times.
6 times. So this is your 6th time, man. You the best thing is just listen to your set, slow down 100%.
Yeah.
Just make it more comfortable. Like But other than that, there's not much we can tell you other than just keep on going up. Yeah. You did really good. I would like to have you at the Ice House Friday if you want to do 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to do the fucking rap battle.
This is everything that's wrong with show business, what you just saw, everybody.
I'm feeling you.
What in front of your very eyes is what's wrong with all of entertainment right now.
I'm going to do coke out your ass.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Here's the thing, myself.
Oh, let me guess. She can open up for you in Tampa.
Well, I'm already booked here on Friday.
Unbelievable.
Oh, you're already booked?
But no, I'm not fucking Red Band. You'll have your own podcast in 2 weeks. But
I already do. Playboy Radio.
Yeah, Playboy Radio. Yeah.
She's actually
the balls that you
can
had.
I say what you're a member
the
of?
Only thing you what plugged recently.
Suicide Girl. She's a Suicide Girl.
What does that mean?
Nobody knows.
Are we going to actually talk about her set or just hit on her the whole time? What are we going to do?
I'm not hitting on her. I'm trying to make fun of her, but I can't get a word in with you two overprotective, trying to jump in and be the father figure she never had out of nowhere, you motherfuckers. I'm trying to fucking...
I'm watching it go down, too. You know?
You guys are being way too nice. Way too nice.
Are you ticklish?
Fuck.
I learned how to turn it off.
Oh, cool.
But, like, sometimes, yeah. You know. It's like, because it's like a mind thing. When somebody comes up to you and they're like, tickle, tickle. You're like,
fuck all that. All you got to do is slow down. Can we get back to the show?
Yes,
man?
Absolutely.
Can we piss all the other women off?
I'm a scumbag. The Black Florist Ranger says it.
Yeah, that's right.
Words
the
of wisdom.
Florist Ranger.
Well, Brian took it to tickle land after all that, so... yeah, you've only done it 6 times. You totally have to slow down. You have to relax. You know, like, not everybody in the, like, if you're performing in a room full of, you know, complete cokeheads and everybody's just out of their mind, like, zipping in the middle of a rock show or something, that energy is perfect. But, like, you have to connect with these people and you're really, like, pushing it. Sam, hit it.
I agree with everything you said, Tony. I just, you know, it just comes back to, again, you're 6 in, but it comes just back to focusing what you're trying to say. You know, you were just all over the place, and that's it, and you're brand new. It's just like, how clear can you make your punchline? And that's really what it is. So people don't have to think, oh, is she talking about drugs, or is she talking about candy? Right there, that's too much thinking. You got to really phone, so it's easily digestible. And that's really all I have to say.
I love it. Byron, anything else?
Slow down, like I say, and don't do like too much moving, like of the body, like that, because you're gonna
twerking?
Come across. Yeah, she came. Yeah, you come across as a dancer and not a comedic performer.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, this is a different ball game than rap. And when you tell your story, the conviction in it will sell it more than the jokes. So make sure you really take them to that place where you selling candy, and even why you was bringing candy packets to school anyway.
And, you know, I
sound like a real white school.
And what were they paying you with is another thing. Like, you know, like make it all. It can all be funny.
I think
you can take that little bit of truth and then exaggerate it and pump it up with crazy stuff.
Like
what do you trade in preschool for?
Lunchables.
There you go.
Yeah. That candy story didn't seem real.
I rushed it.
You should also address your look. I mean, when you walk up, people are like, what's going on here? You know, and it's just, I think that'd be a good opener.
First thing?
Like what, the hoops or what, right. The tats on your neck and or on your face. And, you know, just like it's a real quick way to get people to know who you are real quick.
Yeah.
And it's set up, so.
Okay.
And you like Bronny's daughter from the napkins?
Right now, that's perfect.
And
that's what I was
you know, Bronny, with. Like, you know.
The lumberjack guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Scott or Bronny?
Bronny's daughter after Bronny went away to prison for a long time.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Lindsay Jennings, everybody.
Snitch!
There you go.
Thank you.
Snitch!
Twitter and obviously Instagram at Lindsay Jennings. That's Lindsay with an E.
That was cold.
Jennings.
Woo! That was cold blooded.
That's on you.
I thought about it though.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is made possible by PwC. It's getting hot out here. Moving the mercury can help move your business. PwC helps turn sustainability theory into real-world action. Reduce your carbon footprint while increasing transparency in net zero commitments. Start with reporting to identify your climate risks and reinvent your business. Create a more sustainable business and a stronger planet. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
All right. Well,
we'll do the same thing.
This looks like an interesting name. Could possibly be fake. Put your hands together for Seizure Kaiser.
Oh.
Hey. Hey, everyone. My name is Seizure. I'm from Australia. I'm going to start off with an impression. Do you guys like impressions?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Here's an impression of a guy I used to work with. Ching chong, ching chong, hoso yo. Sorry, I should explain. That's Steven. He's a racist. If you're wondering what's with my accent, like I said, I'm from Australia, but I was born in Israel, and I'm an Arab. So when I wake up in the mornings, I don't know if I should blow myself up or kick myself out of my own home. But my Australian side usually beats myself up and says, fuck off, get a job. That's an Australian joke. Doesn't translate here. But a little bit about me. I used to be Muslim. I can't be in a religion that doesn't have a sense of humor, so that's why I left. And, like, I don't know if you know much about Islam, but, you know, Muhammad, he had, like, four wives. One was a 9-year-old girl. And I know why they get pissed off if you draw the Prophet Muhammad. Because let's face it, if I fucked a 9-year-old girl, I would want my picture plastered everywhere. I think that's it, right?
That's a minute. Seizure Kaiser from Australia. Very funny.
You know what I like about what you did? You put the strong jokes in the beginning and the end like a long set, and then you put the risk one in the middle.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was very smart.
Exactly, you know what I mean? How to do it.
How long you been doing it?
6 years professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're I've done this like 4 or 5 times now. I don't know how many times, but that was the best set I've seen here so far. It was really funny. Yeah.
All the way from halfway around the world. That's so fun. So
great shirt.
Sydney?
Sydney.
That's so fun. What's different from Australia and here? How long have you been in America?
Actually, only 2 months, and I leave next week.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Thank God.
Where were you during the...
I don't know what kind of terrorist you is, but shit. God damn it. Get the fuck out of my...
This won't be the first podcast I bomb either. So,
yeah, that'll work.
But where have you been for 2 months?
New York and L.A. Yeah.
How long have you been in L.A.?
A month now.
Been doing a lot of spots, getting up a lot?
Not really. I'm pretty lazy.
So you flew here and just said, I don't feel like going out?
Right.
I needed a holiday, so I thought I'll come to L.A., check it out. But I didn't expect to do spots, but, you know, the comedian side of me was like, get the fuck out there, and I did.
That's
so you got out once?
Twice.
Oh, look at you, you go-getter.
In a whole month. So what have you been doing in L.A.?
Just banging American chicks, right?
I got a girlfriend, so I can't say that, but...
yeah.
Just sightseeing. Like, I'm a big movie buff, so I've been checking out, you know, locations and stuff.
Have you gone to the New Beverly Cinema in Beverly?
Yep, been there.
Yeah.
How is being a tourist in L.A.? Because I always thought the stuff you really want to see is behind closed doors.
Well, it's also gross and dirty. I remember coming here my first time going, ooh, really? This is what everyone talks about?
Hollywood's a shit.
You have to find the good spots. It's hard. Well, it's in between all the shit they tell you is good.
Yeah. Well, when I got here, I was staying in Mid-City, so I was like, this doesn't seem like the L.A. from the movies.
Yeah.
But when I moved a little bit closer here, it's like more vibrant. But anything past Washington's?
That was offensive.
Sorry.
I had the same thought as a minority. I was like, I could have stayed in Atlanta for this shit.
Nailed it.
Yeah, Wilshire and above is what you want to fuck with. You know what I mean?
Always.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Always.
So how long are you
Did
in town
you do
for?
Your straight out Compton tour? You went all to see the sights and
no,
sounds?
No, I'm not going to Compton. No.
Why? Are you afraid?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you for your
Are there
honesty.
A lot of black people in Australia?
No, there's like four.
Yeah.
Wow.
Australia's pretty racist. And there's not many black people there.
There's the Aborigines, right?
They're not black. They're natives.
Yeah, I really thought your joke was going to be racist.
We
got to
say that.
Racist.
Yeah? Only black people could call another group like
us. Welcome to America and our stupid rules.
Yeah. But man, that's good, man.
How do you feel about black people yourself?
Yeah, be honest, dude.
I love them.
What do you love about
them? Yeah.
You're in 04. You're in 04, man.
Five now.
Five. You know what I mean? Let me. What are you doing?
So fucking.
You're literally mocking him. What are you doing?
He's got it.
My first American mugging. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. You're gonna be all right. You're gonna be all right.
Jokes on Byron when his jacket blows up in 5 minutes.
My favorite part of that was Tony's like, hold on, yeah, I got a good one.
Stop talking, Sam. Seizure Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting. How far away is that from your real name?
Quite a bit. I legally changed it.
You did?
Yeah.
From what?
A long story, but I used to be a DJ, and I held the strobe light down a bit too long, and 4 people had epileptic fits. And everyone called me that seizure guy, so I thought, fuck it. And
DJ Siege.
That's what people remember from your music, is the ailments that you delivered.
It was a metal club, so...
You're like the angel of death.
They were like, go, 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 go.
Gone. That's so
cool. I got a part of you in Australia. I want to see this seizure
you
shit.
You still DJ now and then?
No, no more.
No, the seizure
did
thing
that run
took you out.
Well, I got fired right after that. So, yeah.
Shit. Yeah. How was that talk?
Do you miss just pressing buttons all the time? Do you miss that?
I've got a laptop, so no. It's pretty good.
Was it like, can we come in the office? Let me talk to you for a minute. And then they was like, you killed 4 people tonight. Was it real calm or was they yelling at you? Like, get the fuck out of here. You're never working DJ again.
The promoter had no problem with it. It was the venue.
Of course.
The promoter's like, come back next week. I'm like, no, they banned me.
Normally like, the foam out of at those dance clubs isn't coming out of people's mouths. But you do something extra fun and you make it organic.
You know, you would here it will work. If you go to like Coachella or something and you make everybody have a seizure, you will work every year.
How long are you in town for? When are you leaving?
I'll leave Sunday.
What's your girlfriend like?
She's pretty cool. She's I don't know if I should say this, but she's a professional dominatrix. So
nice.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Get comfortable.
Yeah. You're just blowing our minds right now.
She's white?
Amazing.
Yes.
How your parents feel?
They hate her.
Truth bombs here tonight on Kill Tony, and I love it.
That's
like
awesome.
This. Yeah.
Do you want to do the Ice House Friday? You can if you want to do one more spot before you leave.
Yeah, I'd love to.
It's at the Death Squad show, so check it out. 10 o'clock. I'll get a hold of you.
The Ice House Friday night. There you go. Seizure Kaiser.
Congratulations.
So hot chicks and terrorists.
That's it. He comes in. He does 2 spots in a month, and out of one of those spots gets another spot, a book show. Seizure Kaiser. Not many people go with the ailment for their first name when they change it, but... He spells it like an actual seizure.
Or a tragedy that they were directly involved in.
What was that? What kind of weird...
Not many people would name themselves after a tragedy that they were directly involved in.
Right, there's no, like, school shooter Jenkins out there, you know what I mean?
Why is that gonna be Jenkins? I don't even know... Motherfucker, you know what I mean?
Swear to God, as soon as I thought of it, like, sometimes I have something in the chamber and I'm just like, roll with it, you know? Just go, go, go. Just get it out. And as soon as it hit me, I'm like, I don't know why there's a black last name on this one. And you got me. You got me. That did not make much sense. There's never a black school shooter.
Not yet.
You say that like you're about to do it tomorrow.
I thought about doing it when I was in school, but...
thought about it?
Yeah. But that's a whole other story.
It's going to be a black kid who loves anime. That's my prediction.
Oh, yeah. It's black. There's niggas that like anime. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I put the name of this episode.
Niggas that like anime.
I pulled another name out of the bucket, guys, out of the 40 people that signed up randomly earlier. And this name is Jesse Rothenberg.
Yeah!
Jesse Rothenberg.
Woo!
Seizure Kaiser is I Am Seizure on Twitter.
I think that little people have a bit of a branding problem. You know, they said, we don't want you to call midgets anymore. That's derogatory. Call us little people. And I get it, you know? You don't want to be called something derogatory, but they could do better. They could do a lot better. They could have said, we don't want to be called midgets anymore. That's derogatory. Call us people. And then, you know, we could just see the little part. with our eyes. I mean, it's a lot like my group of people demanding to be called, like, big white dumb people. But we already have a name. We picked it 300 years ago. It's Yes, Sir. I do not deserve respect. I'm so weirded out when someone says sir to me. It's like, you know that I used to have dreadlocks, right? You never call a white man with dreadlocks, sir. Okay. I'm going to stop there.
There was a minute there. You did. You got through it. Listen to me, Jesse. You had it.
Stop. Let's just watch his eyes real quick as he kind of goes over what just happened.
You never stop.
First special title. I was almost white done, right?
Let me tell you exactly what just happened there. It wasn't even. Get away from that ball. It's just attacking your head.
Balls in your face.
Teabagged by the
balls in your face.
Jesse, you had it. That's one of my favorite midget jokes I've ever heard.
Oh,
I never thought
of
it that way. I liked it. And then you came right out of it and you go, you don't have a name for us, big dumb white people or whatever you said. But you just did a funny joke, so everybody's like, why are you dumb? The only thing we know about you is that good joke you did before and you lost all momentum there. I mean, three people laughed, but I think they laughed on cadence alone.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what the fuck you said at the end.
Do you get the idea of it, though?
No.
It's a great little person joke. Regular people, boom, you got it. And then why are you big and dumb? You used to have dreadlocks? Is that what you said at the end?
That's just something you'd have to talk to me about.
And that's what I'm going to get back to is when did you get rid of the dreadlocks?
Oh, it was in like sixth grade.
Well, you didn't used to have dreadlocks. You used to have nappy ass hair when you were a kid.
No, I had dreadlocks put in because my mom's awful.
Wait a second. You had weave?
Extensions.
No.
You got haddished?
Like, if you knot the hair enough,
and had it sewn in?
No.
What the fuck did you do, Jesse Rothenberg? You better start talking, boy.
Well, my parents.
Or else we're going to make you give back that fucking Cosby sweater you wore out tonight.
It's a Mr. Rogers sweater.
It's a fucking burn it sweater.
They got pockets. They got pockets. It's a
fucking fire starter. Okay, Jesse. Back to your dreadlocks.
Oh, I was just really into Bob Marley. So.
At six?
No, sixth grade. I was like 12 or something.
Were you smoking pot already?
No, but everyone thought I was. Okay, cool.
Are you nervous right now?
Not as much as I was before, but...
You've been on this show before, and you were super nervous?
This is my third time.
Oh, okay. You're so memorable.
No. I'm reasonably nervous.
I love looking out and seeing people just cover their face like this when I say things. I like your style, man.
You started off really good, but yeah, you got to figure out whatever that second part of that joke is.
Yeah, the end isn't great, but... Yeah,
I don't understand why you're calling yourself big and dumb. You're not that big, and you're not that dumb. So what are we saying?
The idea is that it's to set up the yes, sir, so it's just a way of getting into...
Oh
shit.
What's the... What's with moose? What's the moose?
Where did you...
What is that
Where'd
noise
you grow
right
up?
There?
Give us a second. We need something to heckle you with right here.
I don't know what made me know that would be the noise. But that's exactly the noise you just made. I love that. Obviously, you're still in sixth grade. And, okay, remember puberty? Okay.
The time is so precious. Don't even quit. I bombed a lot.
Get away from the ball, Jesse. Get away from the ball.
Why do you like that ball?
We're breaking people's running away.
I bomb a lot.
Tonight.
You run with that shit. You run with it. If you don't think you're doing well, fuck it. Just keep going.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
This ain't going well. And just be in the moment. People appreciate that.
I'm telling you, it was.
You ever been banging a chick and you came and your dick was going down, but you just kept fucking until it was over?
It's beautiful.
That's what you do when you're on stage. You just keep going.
Yeah, I know.
Let them tell you to leave. You know what I mean? Can someone please let them tell you it's over?
I need that. I need a transcript of that. Can someone please give me a transcript of that? That is fucking Confucius shit right there. I'll tell you that right now. I think you got nervous, man. I think it was a really funny take on it that they should just be called people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
cut
then
that
you could also
off.
Go into what are better names than little people. Like Mystic Beast or something like that, you know?
Right.
Or just cut that other part off and put it back in the oven, because whatever that was not worth this.
Yeah,
you know, it was like
I'm still working
a joke mixed with a horrible
joke. Have you ever been
friends
with a midget before?
No.
Have you ever smelled one?
Fuck, dude.
No.
That's the problem. You got to smell. You got to smell a midget.
You got to know what it is.
You got to taste one.
That's
spit
how,
it
that's
out.
How every other animal in the kingdom smells its prey. You
yeah.
Know? You have to fucking get down on one knee and say,
"Dude,
come over here, buddy. Come over here, little buddy." Normally is better.
Yeah. I just go like this. What? To a cat.
They smell like crispy treats.
Well, don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Well, that's the one I smelled. And it was the little Mr. T on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's a different kind of smell.
He smelled like what?
Rice Krispie treats.
Oh.
Whoa.
Man.
He's a unicorn midget.
Yeah.
He's scary because he's also not only he's Mr. T sometimes, and then other days he's Black Chucky, which I love. If you go to Hollywood, right? The same guy. So sometimes he's little Mr. T, like a lowercase t. And then other days he's Black Chucky, you know what I mean?
That
which is just scary as fuck, because like the knife is as big as he is.
Yeah.
And
I heard he got arrested for blowing dudes in the parking lot. That's a true story.
Shut the fuck
no,
up.
No, really, dude.
Black
allegedly,
Chucky.
Allegedly.
Hey, man, what you doing, man? I'm over here letting Black Chucky suck my dick right now.
Yeah.
What?
Talk about Mr. Nice Guy, right? That's the name of the actual doll.
Are you bored yet?
That's a real Chucky joke right there you guys all missed.
Yeah, a little. That's how we felt toward the end of your set.
Yeah, I know.
when you walked off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look like a Jesse Rothenberg,
by
the way.
You
I
very
mean,
much.
Like,
very
I
nice
don't know
you.
What that is, like whatever type of Facebook type of weird shit you have going on, but you look like a
who
Jesse Rothenberg.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Who's Jesse Rothenberg?
I'm just saying, he looks like he would be a Jesse Rothenberg.
Oh, you just made that name up?
No, that's
his
name.
Oh.
Forgot about him already.
Piece of paper here in front of me. Jesse, where did you get that sweater from?
The Goodwill over in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
The fancy one.
That's like the Goodwill that has to just be the most gone through Goodwill. I mean, just everybody scrapes everything.
Well,
I mean, the Goodwill at Silver Lake, that's got to be like the fucking, you know.
That's the Goodwill.
Fuck, I don't even know. I mean,
that's the Goodwill that other Goodwills donate to.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
How many hipster fingered that shirt? That's my question, man.
Somebody fucked on that shirt in Coachella.
Yeah.
I actually haven't washed it yet since I bought it, which is probably a bad idea.
You got shingles.
Oh, Jesus. You got to go to a better Goodwill, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you
gotta
always have to.
You
got to
go Goodwill hunting.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know. In the moment, you think that's a stock joke I had loaded up? Motherfuckers, don't hey-o me. This shit is live.
Dude.
There he goes, Jesse Rothenberg. Whoa,
Jesse
underscore the underscore human on Twitter. Jesse the human. This is fun.
Yeah, I feel better.
This is a good one tonight. I like this. You guys having fun out there? Jamie Vernon in the back, holding it down on the HD camera.
I was at this when I started, man.
I know. That's
you can get strong fast doing this shit.
That's exactly why I wanted to start it, is because I was a fucking workaholic when I started. Spot, 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 spot. And anytime there'd be a great comedian in the back, like Sam or something like that, and I would get a little bit of feedback, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I would go spot to spot to spot to spot the rest of the week, enforcing that new habit and fucking breaking it.
I think that's a big part of growing as a comic, is being able to listen to people who've done it longer than you and hear what they think. And if you don't like it, don't use it. But, you know, be open to, hey, man, you might want to try this. When I did that, man, shit started changing.
And fun fact, the first person out of everybody and all the cool shit I've done to ever take me on the road with them and give me advice, Sam Tripoli, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Right
here.
He told me to cut the fat when I was just a few months in, and I did, and it changed everything. Shorten your setups, hit those punches.
Did you know Sam was the first one to book me on my first paid gig?
Wow.
Like, I opened up for a few people before, but never got paid for it, and Sam was the first one to actually.
Maybe one day we'll return the favor and give Sam
what
his
I do
first
for you?
Paid
what
gig.
I do for you?
Actually,
man.
Did you hear that?
I was the one who freed you,
right?
Introduced me
you.
To Alexa. He introduced me to Alexis Texas on his show. You put me on the show.
I remember I saw you on that vacation. I said, he looks funny. Let him go.
And I was like this. That's where the idea of Django came from. He got me, and just, we just went out. You know what I mean? I put cocaine in girls' asses, and he would sniff them out.
When he talks about it, it's funny. When I talk about it, you guys are like, yeah, it's so weird. I'm just a creepy guy, huh? Is that what it is?
No, it's the Raiders hat. Put this hat on and see it.
There you are.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, shit.
You loved him in The Wizard of Oz. It's the Scarecrow, everybody. Why?
You like a slave master with the hat on. Put it on again. I'm going to look just like a slave master.
Hey!
I feel like what's his face from Toys?
Woody.
Yeah.
Woody, yeah.
There's a snake in my boot. All right.
I pulled another name out of the bucket. Put your hands together for Courtney Banks.
Courtney!
So, I was the ugly sister growing up. It's true. You know you're the ugly sister when you're only taught practical skills. And my sister, that ugly fucking bitch, she was really pretty. She went to modeling etiquette camp. I got taken outside and taught how to mow the lawn. So I'll put it to you this way. I know how to use a level, okay? It was fair. I was so fat that my fat was trying to eat my face kind of thing. So I was really sad when I found out my sister died. It was a very tragic death. Waterbed accident. She drowned. Very popular in the 90s. and when I found out, basically I woke up with clean hands and a heavy heart and just soaking wet pajamas because... she was skinny, but she was a fucking fighter. I'll tell you that much.
All right.
Wow. I would like a picture of your face as you walk.
So confused right now.
Courtney.
Catch this episode next week on Forensic Files, everyone. Pretty sure we just...
Wait, rewind that. So you're,
I was so nervous, I fucked up my words.
Did your sister really die?
No, she didn't.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, was she pretty or was she ugly?
She was pretty. I fucked that up, and I just kept going.
That's a pretty intense joke. That I mean, yeah. Kind of like that girl earlier, or that guy earlier, if it's not a real story, you're going to get people in the audience going, whoa, what the fuck is she talking about?
How long have you been on stand-up?
3 months.
Right, yeah. Feels that way. How many spots are you getting? A lot? You going up? You hustling?
I go up like 6 to 9 times a week.
That's great.
Oh yeah, she's getting it in.
Yeah. Well, then you're good. You're just starting and you're trying shit, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So what else? What other types of things do you talk about?
Was
you
really?
Real
your, can I ask a question? Yeah, who's your favorite comics? Like, who do you look up to?
Bill Burr is my absolute favorite.
Okay.
I just finished reading Kinison's biography. I absolutely love him.
Yeah, she got a dark soul. You know what I mean?
I do. I have a dark soul. I like dark comedy.
Which is great. You mentioned Bill Burr. Bill Burr takes his take on real stuff that happened.
Yeah.
You're really like, you're asking us to believe something that's completely made up in your head. And very early, I think you can kind of sense it's not real. And I don't know how the crowds do it, but they can always sense when you're talking about something that isn't real.
And I think it's a natural habit of people when they first start out in the first 6 months to a year to just make up stuff because it seems funnier. It seems funnier in the beginning on paper, than it does, you know.
I have a lot of people that ask me that, like, come up to me after I do that, and they're like, "Oh my god." My siblings died too, and then I'm like, "Oh my god,
that's
no, great. No, no!"
Yeah, so yeah, your
siblings
reaction
have not.
That is,
died
yeah, yeah. You're opening
at
the door,
coming up, saying
right.
to you after the
yeah,
show.
So
do you know what I think
terrible.
Though? I think your energy. I mean, I think this is like this in just performance in general and sets, but your energy is determined the first. Almost 3 seconds you're on stage.
100%.
You know what I mean? It's like immediately how you immediately come on and carry it, engage the audience and carry yourself. And for this set, You just came on with a certain some kind of energy that made the audience back off a little bit.
And you jumped You jumped right into something. You really, really jumped into it. And yeah. I think you have
I was
too,
so
you have too much charisma. People want to know about you, and immediately you went straight into your sister.
You were insecure out the gate. Insecurity. You started looking down, and right there they sense weakness. When you're you were uncomfortable, you're like,
So let's meet you, Courtney. This is your first time on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What were you doing before stand-up comedy? What do you do for work? Where are you from?
I don't know where she's from.
I just asked her, Brian.
You know?
No, I obviously don't know.
I'm from Virginia, but I went to Ohio State.
Whoa! That's good. Ooh la la. Welcome to the Illuminati, and you're in. You're gonna. How do you like a spot at the Ice House on Friday?
Yeah, huh?
No, I'm kidding. Horse of Truth coming out for the first time tonight.
Fun fact, I actually had a waterbed. I actually was so fucked up that I was with a girl, and we were both wasted. I think we were coming down from acid or something. And my cat popped the waterbed, and we woke up both submerged in water, and it had been there for a while. Like it didn't wake us up once we felt like a little drop or something. We were
your
in the water.
She was like,
I'm yeah, my
so
cat
wet. Wow, that's like, the only time you've ever had a wet pussy in your bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Waterbed popping joke.
Yeah!
Well done.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Joke of the night.
Yeah, you got that one.
When you get to make a wet pussy joke, you have to make it.
That was very good.
Courtney, tell us about you. So you went to Ohio State, what do you do for work?
I quit my job. I was a waitress.
Where were you waitressing at?
Cabo Cantina in Hollywood.
Holy shit.
It was terrible. I was gonna kill myself. In Hollywood, Cabo Cantina.
Yeah.
No, the one on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh,
so
I wow.
stabbed my eyes out.
So it was
every
one
day.
Of those places that serves like yellow and pink and purple
like
drinks.
The big margaritas.
And they give away free drinks to try cheap drinks to give
yes.
people a headache and make them want to drink more
and
to get rid of
tips.
It.
It's a hub of arts and culture.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So tell us about you, Courtney.
Like
what's your favorite hobby? What do you do for fun?
I don't really have any hobbies. I watch TV. Not trying to get some. Why would that be my hobby?
No, get some hobbies.
Oh, trying to get some. Oh, I was like,
getting hobbies is a
hobby.
What do you do?
Hobby should be dick.
Getting some dick.
What do you do for fun, Courtney?
I go hiking sometimes.
When was the last time you went hiking? I just feel
two
like
weeks
that was a bullshit
ago?
Answer.
No, yeah. I do.
It's true. I agree with you, Pat.
Why do you think? I go hiking with Josh Merowitz.
Oh!
Sympathy
point.
Though the kid, he's the comedian with autism,
he has
everybody.
Autism,
she's
you
trying to get
asshole.
She's trying
did
to
you
get
walk with
points.
Him or did you walk him?
she walked
fucking
him up
think
a canyon.
About it.
He's getting better every week.
Yeah.
So Courtney, what's it like being from Virginia? What part of Virginia were you from? A big city?
No. It's a small town. It's called Stafford. Nobody knows where it is.
Man, you are really good at taking questions,
hey,
Courtney. I mean, you're just
I want to say something.
Really
exciting.
Rolling with it.
You're an attractive girl. You know, you really are. And to come up here going, you know, I used to be ugly. And my whenever you start talking about your looks, I just think it's a lose-lose situation. Whether you're attractive or you're not attractive, I just think that you're making the crowd make a determination of how attractive you are. And I just don't – it's like – Dave
this
Cook's
is why
Instagram. It's
this
so
is why
uncomfortable.
I did this,
you know what
this
I'm saying?
This is why I did this joke,
so
though.
So uncomfortable, by the way.
This is why I did this joke, though, because it's
a
true
analogy.
Story. I was, like, very, very overweight.
Yeah, but you're
as
not
a child.
Now.
Right, but that's a personal experience to me. So
and if
what
that,
do? You just don't talk about it?
No,
but
if that's the thing, then you have to nail it on the head like that, you know, saying ugly and pretty, and then you completely disintegrated everything by saying that ugly bitch after you just said she was the
pretty.
Well, I meant to say pretty.
That,
when
she
I was
said
nervous.
That ugly bitch, when you never say that ugly bitch in the joke.
No,
step,
yeah, you've
right?
seen
that
it
was,
before.
That was fear.
Yeah.
You've seen her do a step before.
I haven't seen that wait, joke, but I'm just guessing, just based
yeah, that was
on
just nervous,
energy
yeah.
wise.
Yeah, you at the beginning, you really established more how you looked before and what your sister looked like, so people can get an idea.
You should right. describe your sister.
Because you're not that ugly. So
what's the
not that ugly? That's great.
I think
dude. Good job.
You.
You're
I mean,
it.
You got to set the bar for how pretty she
right.
is. You know
right.
what I mean?
What's
normally
the real
when
story?
I have more time, I do, but it's a short time.
Yeah.
Courtney, up here. What's the real story? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother, one sister.
What? And you, when
my
you,
sister is fucking gorgeous.
And she's always been gorgeous.
Always
and
been
you
gorgeous.
Used to be fat.
And I was super fat.
Right. Okay. So what does she do now?
She's a commercial interior designer.
She of course she is.
No.
Is she happy?
Yeah. I guess.
Where does she live?
D.C.
Do you stay in communication with her?
Yeah.
So is she happy?
I guess. She wants to live in L.A.
What kind of car does she drive?
But you live in L.A.
Yeah. She wants to live here and do...
What was the joke? What was the meat of the joke?
There is no meat of
that
joke.
There was
no joke,
right?
Immediately get rid of it. So let's get back...
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing. So it's never going to work.
You're only 6 weeks in. Again, like the other girl, there's not much we can say. The best advice is just listen to your set. Make sure there's jokes in there. And make sure there's a point. Be really cut all the fat that you don't need to talk
be
about.
Be honest. Just talk about the real shit. Yeah. If she's an interior designer and you're happier than she is or whatever, if anything you want. But if you're going to cover it, keep it true and keep it real and keep it on what it really is.
Okay.
It's going to be easier for you to write around that if you keep it true.
Yeah. Okay.
If you start going make-believe, then what? You're covering up some waterbed murder? Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And worst-case scenario, you get tackled and arrested at the end of the set.
Like, honestly, I mask a lot of my shit. My comedy up until now was observational. But it was dark shit, Confederate flag school shootings, and being in favor of. But I'm masking the fact that I almost shot my school and nobody know. But for me to talk about other people doing it takes away from it. You know what I mean?
You almost shot your school?
Yeah.
You two should get together and just go on a crime spree, a fake crime spree.
But I got a sister also that y'all probably met who's light-skinned and look way better than me, too, so I feel her pain on that.
I guess it was just like, don't you ever want to do stuff to your siblings?
When you start going on looks, you're attractive. So when you start going, I used to be fat and ugly, then they're like, oh, what do you think? You're hot now? You know, it's just like, it's a no-win situation.
What else is different other than the two of you when you were kids? What's different now? You think she's prettier than you are now?
No, now we caught up. We're listening.
We caught up.
All the personalities in your head, I think that's...
Imagine how your sister feels right now.
Well, yeah,
she's like, God damn, what happened
God
to me?
Damn it.
You blossomed early. Y'all didn't catch up. You caught her, and she's falling back. You know what I mean?
Well, she may have... Okay. Very good. Again, perhaps... I mean... Every other.
And that sound effect's a little bit creepier now at the Comedy Store, if you know.
Yeah, that's true. You should do six of them.
Well, you know, what we learned here tonight, clearly, is that Courtney, you know, your sister may have the looks, but she definitely also has the sense of humor, too.
And you can take that to the banks.
Take that to the Courtney Banks. There she goes, everybody.
Thank
Courtney,
you.
Courtney, you're going to be fine. You're brand new.
Yeah.
Busting balls, people.
No problem.
These people are all warriors. Yeah. At Courtney Banks. By the way, I make fun of all these people, but all of these comedians that I make fun of have more balls than every other comedian that are starting out. So just remember that.
There's really not much.
Because if you sign up for this show, you're in the game.
It would be funny if her sister was Lenny Kravitz.
There's not much we can really tell, though, to like somebody that new. You know,
right.
Just basic stuff.
You know, you just got to find out stuff about them and try to figure out what it is that makes them tick. Okay, here we go. I'm pulling a name out.
Yeah, y'all are good, man.
Dan Nolan. Here we go.
My good friend, Dan Nolan.
Hey. What's up, guys? I just got that iPhone app that shows you where all the sex offenders around you live, but it doesn't let you swipe right or send winks. I feel like I wasted $4. Hey, what's up with all these bitches on Tinder, man? Just sending me pictures of their dicks. I'm not trying to. Okay. No, I don't know. I think dudes should be allowed to brag about their dick holes. Like, I got a pretty regular dick, but that hole, though. You ever wonder if Disney princesses take quizzes on Facebook to see which one of us they're most like? I learned something interesting the other day. Did you know that a majority of Americans is more than half of Americans? I didn't know what majority meant. That's... starting a new band. The sound we're going for is going to be kind of like a cross between Simon and Garfunkel. Like, just those two guys. Those are good. Those are good.
Wow. Dan Nolan firing off missiles.
Dan Nolan!
That's how
that
it's done.
That was a great set.
Thanks, man.
That was really
by the
good.
Way, by the way, earlier I said that women have caught up, that they're equal with men. I take that back. after seeing the sets tonight between the men and the women, I'm sorry, ladies. I love you.
It's true.
You know, I was raised by a single mom. But
different
tonight,
times.
No, listen to all the women. It's so easy to fucking throw them off. Now, oh, God, I'm blogging it right now. Fact.
I'm jealous of that dick hole.
I'm blogging it right now.
I'm going to sit here and blog it.
I'm jealous of your dick hole joke.
Oh, that's a good dick hole.
Yeah, it's yeah. a great.
That joke is like 4 days old. Like,
really?
Like,
oh, it's the best.
Oh,
you know,
Brett,
there's actually
Brett.
Dick hole porn, by the way,
is
where
really?
Yeah,
that joke
where
is
people
like
put
4 millimeters.
Where
wide.
where people put like things like in dick people's hole. Dick holes.
Really? Okay, Brian. Yeah. Anyway, back to the
like
comedy show we're doing.
Nobody's enjoying that.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot you can like research about it.
You
can research
about your dick hole. You might want to do some research.
Who's doing research?
Yeah. Really stretch out that dick hole joke you're talking about there.
Dan, I don't okay.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. Dan, we've had you on this show before. Yeah. I've talked to you before. You are a recovering heroin addict.
Yep. Yeah, 8 months sober next week.
Yeah.
Boo, go back to it. And
unless that chick wants to let me sniff cocaine out of her asshole, then I might. Okay. All right. Whatever.
But Dan, I mean, you know, you're writing jokes like you're still on heroin. Like, they are so good and so funny. Like, you're just firing off one-liners faster and harder than Mitch Hedberg, and they're not Mitch Hedberg jokes. Mitch Hedberg, like, put so many flags on so many planets of one-liners, and it seems like you're attacking different things and have a different style altogether. You're not relying on so many one-liner guys go so slow and just fucking blah, 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 blah. That's the one thing that they all have in common, and you're just fucking throwing combinations, Mayweather style.
Thanks.
So, you know, you definitely are doing something different, which is hard to do when you're a one-liner comedian. So.
Yeah, I dropped the one-liners for a while, for about 3 months. That was all I was doing in the beginning, and then the last...
Look. Don't lay off the one-liners. Keep off the heroin, not the one-liners. It's very important not to get those two things confused. Sam Tripoli, go ahead.
I mean, Dan's a good friend of mine. We've been friends for a little while now, especially through sobriety. And listen, dude, I would give you some advice, but you're doing it. I mean, like, you got a great style. You know, sometimes when you just do, you should keep doing the one-liners. Eventually, you get to a place where you want to expand them. You know, so you're not just doing like 90 jokes in a 10-minute set. But besides that, man, I mean, you're great. Your jokes fit your look, which is creepy as fuck. You know, and, they really are. You're creepy, and that's why you're my friend. Yeah. And I don't really have much to say other than I really enjoyed your set, man.
Thanks,
We've had a couple really good sets tonight, man, and it's been fun to watch how everybody's doing so far. You know.
Yeah, very, 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 and we talk about it all the time, hard to kill in 60 seconds, but when it's done right.
It's
you can
a skill.
See how it works, you know? And it, by the way, if you picture that in a 5-minute or a 10-minute set, if he's able to keep that momentum, or a half-an-hour set, or an hour-long set, if all the jokes
set.
Were that funny, I'd watch an hour of that straight.
No, you have a style that's great for late-night television, too. I mean, I doubt they're going to let you do dick hole jokes on the Tonight Show.
Right.
But, you know, when you write a couple really good things, like the sex offender joke, that could be a late-night television joke.
Yeah.
That's a really funny joke.
Yeah, I've got, like,
joke.
5 minutes of straight, clean one-liners. Yeah. And,
it's just a matter of time. Everybody works into the rotation, and you're going to you just keep working hard. You'll be in the place to take advantage of the situation, the opportunities that come to you.
Byron Bowers. Byron, did you talk to Dan yet? What do you got for Dan? Did you already say something? I've been there.
Oh, no. Great job, man. They're just going to get harder and harder and better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely great writing style. The element of surprise is there. And even though, you know, like, we gave people notes on conviction and writing about stuff that, you know, they might have lived through. But the stuff that you wrote, you could tell it comes from is conviction in it. You know what I mean? And that's why you were able to sell it. Because even though the delivery might have been a little off at the moment, that's just going to kick in. You already got the majority of it down as far as the look. Like I said, you creepy or you a character. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you even got to laugh just saying something about what's up with these bitches. Not looking like you get bitches. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why people laugh. They know that, you know. And you would probably have bitches for real, you know. So. I know you're doing all right. You said that with conviction. Like, what's up with these bitches? You know what I mean?
Dan, do you have any other jeans? Because I know every time you come on the show, you always have the same jeans on.
Yeah, you're still wearing your heroin jeans, Dan.
Yeah, no, I can't sew them just because I'm staying away from needles.
Well, how about just...
There's your joke.
It's a real comedian up here. This guy throwing bows.
I would love to have you Friday if you can do the Death Squad show.
Yeah, dude, totally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Dreams are coming true. Dan.
You are great, dude.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Dan Nolan. There he goes, thanks, everybody. Dan good Nolan, job, 22 job on Twitter. Dan Nolan, 22. I'm going to roll into this part just to make sure we have enough time for. Guys, we have one regular on this show, whereas everybody else gets pulled out of the bucket. And I, by the way, comedians, I might have enough time to pull one more name out of the bucket in the end. Maybe. But right now, we're going to go to the one person who is a regular on this show. We have one regular that writes and performs a new 60 Seconds every week. She basically started here on Kill Tony, and she's the only person that writes a brand new minute every single week. That's 52 minutes a year. Or at least she tries her ass off to. It's one of the hardest things ever. Put your hands together for it. It's the one and only Melissa Esslinger. Yeah.
I was in a car accident the other day, and this guy, he T-boned my car, he T-boned me. Like, dating in L.A., I don't do it, so I was just glad to get boned. I make that face because I think that joke's lame, but I don't know why I said that. I went to Walmart the other day because that's my favorite place to rent stuff. Because I don't have a TV right now, and a video game I like is coming out tomorrow. I got to borrow that for a little while, keep the receipt. While I was at Walmart, I saw this homeless guy digging the trash can, and I thought he was, like, looking for cigarettes or something, but he pulled out a receipt from the trash can. I think he was gonna go, like, look for those items and return them from inside the store. Thanks.
All right, here we go. Right. Melissa Esslinger.
That last right joke wasn't a joke.
The first joke was...
Murder it.
Yeah.
Or throw AIDS at that joke.
But the Walmart thing, you're right there.
Yeah.
You're right in the pocket. And you delivered it like halfway. It, okay. And you just got to get gotcha into it.
Okay.
You, every time you set a line that you were being honest with, keep the receipt, blah, 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 it gets a laugh because that's true. And I get more into it. How long can you keep a Walmart item without having to return it, get your money back, and buy another item? You can do it all in one day. People don't realize it's a fucking rent-a-center. And you
really
can just
yeah
return and get the new stuff. And you can be the one to have that joke since you just tapped into the premise first. You know what I mean? Like, rent it, and but you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens a lot with, and it's always been this way when we had the other two regulars for 2 years as well. Sometimes, you know, you try a joke, like the bone one, because you think it's going to pop everybody up because it's sort of easy. And then you actually, it's just a perfect example of really the theme of this episode is keeping it honest, you know. And because as soon as you went into that Walmart thing, which is something that's different yet not as easy, it started cracking everybody open because you do seem like you would be doing that. And since you're talking about it, you have it and you own it. And add that to it, too. You know what I mean? That you do look like
you kind of have to rearrange it, though, because you had the idea of it. And then at the end, you were just kind of like, oh, and I just got to keep the receipt. You know, like you kind of like the main details.
Confidence.
You just got to own it. And the other thing was, is at the end of the first joke, when you did do the boning joke and it didn't go well, and then you go, what was it? You go, I don't know why I just did that. Or no, you say that that's my face because that didn't work. I don't know why I just said that. So now you're talking about what's happening in the moment, and then you cancel that out completely. As soon as you were going to jump ship and start riffing, you abandon riffing. You abandon the joke, and then you abandon riffing. And the Walmart thing's so funny that you were still able to dig yourself out of it, if that makes sense. If you're gonna melt down, and I did this so many times when I started. I was fucking
like last Thursday, right?
I was notorious for it. No. But you know, if you're going to say that joke didn't work, I don't know why I did it, then just fucking keep going.
Own it.
Talk about how you weren't able to write anything this week, and fuck it, you spent too much time doing this and that and blah, blah, blah. Riff anything.
If you don't like the joke, don't do it.
Own it from Walmart. Don't rent it from Walmart.
Very good. Delayed reaction.
Let me ask you something real quick.
Yeah.
How nervous were you?
Very.
Okay. Yeah. How many times have you done this?
I mean, I've been doing stand-up for, I guess, like...
But this show in particular?
7 weeks?
This?
At some point...
Very, very new. This is a brand new regular.
Okay. You have to get... even before you walk on, say, I don't care what... I could give you all of Richard Pryor's material, but if you're so nervous, you can't... People are going, wow, she's really nervous. Yeah. And that's, they're more focusing on how nervous you are than your actual jokes. The key is to fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
If you even watch like Last Comic Standing, regardless of what you think of that show, when they always interview the judges, they always go, what are you looking for? They always say confidence. What is your confidence on stage? So sometimes you got to walk on stage and just act like you own the fucking world. Even if you're shitting your pants, man, you have to go up there with bravado.
You know what? Sam has a good point. I think next week maybe you should shit your pants before you come on.
Yeah.
And just try to perform don't have shit in your pants.
Yeah.
Well, my point is just maybe you need to go run to get rid of the nervous energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you deliver your line, every comic, I want to say this. When you deliver your punchline, it has to be like it's the word of God.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be screamed, but it has to be delivered like this is the funniest fucking thing you're going to hear, man. You have to believe in it so much more than anybody else, because when you don't have the confidence, everybody can feel it. And I see comedians do this all the time where they're about to deliver a joke and then suddenly their eyes drop. And it's just, it psychologically lets people know you have no faith in what you're saying. And you got to deliver it like you're a cult leader, not screaming, shouting, but just it's fucking the drink my goddamn Kool-Aid, you know? And that's really the truth when it comes to comedy,
man. You have to land. You have to stick the landing. And like that first joke that you did, it's like you could. We knew that you didn't have any faith or confidence in that joke.
Yeah. Did you really get into a car accident?
I did.
And you got hit. It wasn't your fault.
Well, no, it wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't my fault. But
so you got T-boned.
I was making a left turn, but it was like gridlock traffic. They'd stopped at the green light to like let me through. I, like, made eye contact with them, checked for pedestrians.
Then the other lane was coming.
Well, this guy decided to peel off into the bus lane going really fast.
You should say you got D-boned, or you want to get D-boned instead of T-boned.
No, you should just kill that joke. Never ever do it.
Or we can figure out what's funny about
it.
Who did you get hit by? What race was the person?
Who?
Really? What?
Yeah.
He was of some kind of his...
Did this
nature?
Accident really happen,
Hispanic
Melissa?
Yes. Nature?
You want to look at my car?
No, I'm kidding. What kind of car was the Hispanic driving? What color pickup was it?
It was just a normal guy. It was a the car was white and it was a
Home
Altima.
Depot van.
It was an Altima. It was a sedan.
Oh, huh.
But he hit me so hard that like you can see part of his license plate on my door.
And then what happened? You get out of the car?
Yeah, I jumped out. Well, I was like, okay, I'm. No blood.
Right.
No glass. You know, I jumped out and I was like, what the f? And then I got back in and we moved the cars and they're still drivable. But it sucked because it was like rush hour. So, like, I didn't want to take too long to take pictures and stuff. But because it was scary. This car came flying at me.
So, where are you at with it now?
I'm doing better. For the first like 3 days, are you really doing this? You're about to shoot me right now, aren't you? With a gun.
Stick with the answers, Melissa. Stay in the pocket, Melissa. Don't panic.
Yeah.
How many days a week do you go up? How many times?
A minimum of 4, but usually like I spike to at like 10.
Good.
And I go back down sometimes. Good. Like
you got to just keep getting up because. You got to really get over your stage fright,
yeah,
and then you'll start growing.
That's what's fun about her, though, is I'm really excited for people to get to watch her lose that week after week after week, episode after episode, whereas everybody else, it's a little bit more like off a week, on a week, off on a week. I think she's going to end up being a monster.
I was like that for a couple years with stage fright.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It happens. Maybe. If you love the game, then you're going to be excited for it. Then every set counts a lot.
Well, I'll say with the Walmart joke, what I think would be good, you can add to it, is... You know, you could keep stuff for 30 days.
Yeah.
And
sometimes 90 days.
Yeah, so I would add that to it. Like, I'm just going to rent it for 30 days. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Or however many days you want to rent this item for, then take it back. Get or if one item you rent, like the game system 90 and then the TV 30, how you got to keep going back and forth and buying and returning each one like you do like cereal and milk because it never catches up to one another.
That makes maybe sense. Maybe to get over nerves, you can like do things like, I don't know, carry like pictures of audiences in your pocket and just look at them every couple of minutes.
Melissa, you just gotta.
That's so funny.
You just gotta find because you're naturally what nervous. You just gotta find out where it works for you. You have to show up. You don't need to ditch you because that's who you are. When you're out off stage, she's super nervous. Off stage, she's super shaky. So you have to fucking be yourself. But you have to have the confidence part comes in confidence in your material. You have to have confidence in your material and what you're doing, and that you belong on the stage, and then you can be yourself. On the stage.
Melissa
and people go with you.
Esslinger, everybody, the Melissa. Newest regular here on Kill Tony.
Good job, huh?
Guys, we're going to get one more comedian up before the end of the show. Yeah! How about that? I'm going to go to the bucket for this one. Gotta do it. And I pulled out the name of Brett Pfefferman. Pepperman? Whoa! Brett Pepperman!
Hey!
Hey! Hey, hi. Great. I was seeing this guy for the past 6 months, in my head, and, it was rough, you know. I got really upset when he told me that he was moving to New York. He gave me no notice, so I decided to move there. But I ran into my stepmom recently. She's a rescue, so no, I'm just kidding. You guys, we used to go to high school together. One day she said to me, she was like, how, you know, I get it, you know, when you were a senior in high school and I was a freshman, how funny would it be if you called me mom? I was like, I'd rather lick Magic Johnson's Band-Aid than share a microwave with you when I got home. Okay, I'm going to end on that.
And that is a minute. So there you go. All right. How long have you been doing stand-up?
About four months.
Four months. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, you look down a lot. Sam talked about this a couple times this episode, and you just like stare straight down almost the whole time when you're trying to think of what you're saying.
4 months in, it's hard.
Yeah.
You have really funny jokes. You're trying to do something pretty difficult, which is kind of like what Wendy Lieberman did for a long time, which was get you going one way, then come back the other way. Mm-hmm. But you got to do a little pause between what you're saying and the shift or the change, you know? Yeah. So you're like, oh, I've been dating this guy for 6 months in my head, you know? Like, there's the delivery
you
to
gotta
it.
You got
to
use like the timing to your advantage. Like and for the looking Iverson down crossover. Thing, by the way, yes, like an Allen Iverson crossover. Pat had to squeeze in there from deep in three-point range. About the looking down thing, because you're really looking down. Like, some people were glancing down, and Sam was catching it like an umpire. I mean, you were just firing at these people's feet. And I'm telling you, again, just like about writing fake premises, it's something I see in almost everybody that's been doing it less than 6 months, or some people that have been doing it a year, two, 3 years, and just not doing it enough. And my way of handling that, because I did that, by the way, my first few months of doing stand-up, I was doing this weird fucking, like, half unconfident Chris Rock thing where like I would walk back and forth on the stage just staring down, just hoping my well-written jokes would murder. And it turns out I was talking about fake shit, so it wasn't well-written, and I was looking down, and so I wasn't connecting. And then once I started to put it all together, I just started looking right in all these idiot souls. You see all these morons? Look at all these morons out here that think that they're special, that think their opinions matter. They're all idiots. So if you look right in their fucking eyes, because you're doing this, you're doing stand-up more than they're being an audience. So you're already better at what you're doing than what they are. But if you're looking down that hard, you're never going to have a chance. You could have Dan Nolan's jokes, and if you're just nervously not delivering them, it's not going
to
work.
Okay.
I'd like to take you to the Olive Garden Saturday.
Whoa. No comedy gig. That's just a straight-up date, everybody. She just won a date. with Brian Redband. Oh, the husband is yelling from the back. We really fucked up this one. Where's the gunshot now, Brian? No, kidding.
You have good premises. You have very smart stuff that as you keep doing it more and more, it's going to be really fun to watch. Yeah. You know, it's like I went to I did my Montreal when I long time ago. I did a Montreal Comedy Festival. I tapped into something I didn't know yet, and now I got it. You got something. You just don't have it yet. But when you get it, it's gonna be great.
You have a likable head. You're gonna be fine. Keep doing it, Brett Pfefferman. Everybody, she's on Twitter. Brett Pfefferman, B-R-E-T-T. Pat Reagan's Patty Reagan. Byron Bowers, Sam Tripoli. The drawing from Ryan J. Ebelt. Everybody, look at that. What did we do tonight? Oh, football jerseys. football jerseys and the horse of truth. There was a lot of honesty in this episode. A very compelling episode of Kill Tony. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great night. Thank you. Good night.
Seen a lot of girls since then. If I could meet them, I could get them. But as yet, I haven't met them. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in. Here, another sad night.